Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of John 14, 15 through 27. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Well, happy Father's Day to you all. So we are in the upper room together this summer. Jesus is sharing some of the things that are most on his heart the night before he dies. And today he introduces his disciples more formally to the Holy Spirit. And what he's doing in this section is he's equipping them for their mission. And what they're learning and what we learn today is it's not just what they need to be equipped with, but who they need to be equipped with in order to fulfill this mission that he's given them. And so what we're going to do is actually spend 2 weeks, the next 2 weeks, talking about the Holy Spirit, who he is and what he does, especially what he does in our lives. And so on this Father's Day, I don't know if the Spirit's been front and center in your heart and mind lately, but if not, let me reintroduce you to him over the next 2 weeks. He is, I will be arguing, your most valuable asset, your closest companion, and I want to reintroduce him to you if you need some reintroduction. And if not, a lot of this will be reminder. But before I jump into the passage, I just want to share my heart for this community that I've always had since I came here on staff 23 years ago. You know, my observation is churches tend to fall into two camps when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And you have some churches that are more, I'll call them spirit-forward churches. They talk a lot about the Spirit, and in certain expressions of the Spirit, you'll see healings happening in these churches, or gifts, words of knowledge, and certain charismatic gifts, and things going on like that, charismatic churches. Some of you grew up in those kinds of churches. And then you have other sets of churches that kind of look at that and get a little nervous about that, and kind of pull away from that. And so they're like, we don't want to be that. And so they don't really have any real deep theology or understanding and experience of the Holy Spirit. And I like to say their functional trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Scriptures. And my heart for this church has always been something a little different than both of those. But my heart has been that we would have this deep, robust, holistic understanding and experience of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our community. And this comes from my own reading of Scripture and my own experience over the years, that the Spirit, we would experience Him as part of everything that we do. That He's so front and center all the time. He's not just relegated to these more charismatic things. I'm open to that. But He's like, no, He's a part of everything we do. I can't do the Christian life. I can't wake up and live well without the Spirit front and center in my life every single day. I think if you were to ask the Apostle Paul, like, Paul, in a sentence, how do you live the Christian life? One of his quick answers would be, walk in the Spirit. How do you live the Christian life? You walk in the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. That's how you live the Christian life. And so my goal is, in the next 2 weeks, is to celebrate the Spirit together. I want this to be a celebration of this great gift that God has given us. I think God gives us so many great gifts, and I think His two greatest gifts are these. First, the gift of His Son, to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. And second, the gift of His Spirit, to do in us what we could never do in ourselves. And so I want to celebrate this gift, which is really the gift of God Himself in the person of the Holy Spirit. And I also want to stir up a longing in us for more of the Spirit. And my hope is, as I teach kind of basic truths about this Spirit today, there'd be parts you'd be like, oh, I need more of that. I want more of that. And there'd be a longing. You'd be like, I don't know if I have as much of that as I'd like. And like David in the Psalms is like, as the deer thirsts for streams of water, that as you're hearing me talk about basic realities of the Spirit, there'd be this longing in you that's like this voice in you that's like, come Holy Spirit, I want more, more, more. So my hope is to celebrate together and to stir up a deeper longing for Him. And the most simple idea I can give you about the Spirit today, if you are maybe here and you've always been confused about the Holy Spirit, Father, I can kind of picture an old guy in the sky, which is not the right way to think of him, but at least I can picture that. Jesus, you know, he had a body and picture, but the Spirit's kind of this like blobby, foggy cloud. You know, I never understood, like, how do I think about this? Just to keep it as simple as I know how, and if this is all you hear today, I think would be this. Just to know that as you read the Scriptures, and especially what Jesus says today, the Holy Spirit's main role is to make the person of Jesus alive in our lives today. If that's all you hear, what does the Spirit do? What's He all about? It is to make the person of Jesus real to us today, to make His teaching real, to make His death and resurrection, the salvation we have, and now His life-giving presence to make that real. So to be filled with the Spirit is to have Jesus come alive inside of us. He brings the person of Jesus to us today. That's His main role. And I think that explains some of the things that happened in the upper room. It explains what I would call the mixed messages that Jesus gives His disciples in these chapters, which is, I'm leaving you, and I'm not leaving you. Right? This is kind of a mixed message. It sounds like a really bad boyfriend, right? He's kind of playing hard to get. And chapter 13 says, I'm leaving. Where I'm going, you can't go. And then in our passage today, he's like, but I'm not leaving you. I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. How do we resolve that? Well, the answer is, of course, the Holy Spirit. Physically, I'm leaving you. I'm returning to the Father. But spiritually, I'm going to come to you through my Holy Spirit. You'll notice in verse 16, he says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you, this word, another advocate or counselor or comforter. Right? He's going to give you another. Well, who's the first? Jesus, right? And now He's going to give you another one. Everything that you've seen me doing with you over these last 3 years, Jesus is saying to His disciples, He will now do. The only difference is I've been doing these things outside of you, external to you. He's going to do these things inside of you in a spiritual way. All that to say, the Spirit's main role is continuing the work of Jesus by bringing the presence of Jesus into our hearts and lives today. It's really interesting if you read Paul's writings on the Spirit, how interchangeable Holy Spirit, Spirit of Jesus, and Jesus are in his thinking. Watch how he refers to the Spirit here. You, however, are not controlled by the flesh, but by the Spirit, so just Spirit. If indeed, now he's referred to as the Spirit of God lives in you, and then if anyone doesn't have the, now it's the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ, and now it's just, but if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death, he goes on. All that to say, the Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, which is to say, Jesus is inside of you by means of his Spirit. That's why I think he says what he says later in chapter 16, we'll get to this. Truly, I tell you, it is to your advantage that I am going away. If I go, I will send the advocate to you. And I promise you, those disciples that night, when they heard that, there's not a chance in that this could be to our advantage, right? How could this possibly be to our advantage that you are going to leave us? This is the worst news we've ever heard. How could this be to our advantage? And I think part of what the advantage is Jesus, like, I can say things to you all I want, but I can't get inside of you and make those things come alive. And he can. I'm embodied. I'm only in one place at one time. I can only be one place at one time. He's spiritual. He can be everywhere. He can be in hearts all over the world all the time. It is to your advantage. He is me in this new spiritual form living inside of you. Okay, make sense? Kind of the simple idea. So let's explore today a bit about what the Spirit does. We'll take part of it today and part of it next week. But we'll look at it through Jesus' own description in this passage. And I was really struck this week. Turns out when you just sort of slow down and pay attention to the word, you learn new things all the time. And I was struck by how consistently Jesus refers to the Spirit in these chapters. And almost exact same, there's three ideas that he says almost every time. Let me show them to you. I'll actually put them on the slide so you can see it. So this is this is in our passage, verse 16. The Father will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. That's verse 16. Verse 26. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, teach you truths. And then later in chapter 15, he says it again. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. So in every instance, there's three ideas that he's capturing. First, he calls him the advocate. Second, he says he is the Spirit of Truth, who will teach you things. And then third, he says he comes from the Father, okay, every single time. So I was like, maybe we should pay attention to that. Maybe I should pay attention to that description if he says it almost every single time. So what I'd like to do is just lean into each of these today. And again, as you look at each of these descriptions, my heart is that we would celebrate. Oh, let's celebrate this aspect of the Spirit's ministry. And then where is there a longing in you that you're like, ooh, I need more of what you're describing, all right? All right, so first let's look at the advocate. Where do you see it there? First one in verse 16, I will ask the Father, he will give you another advocate. One of my favorite Greek words in the Bible. It has a wide range of meaning. So depending on what your translation is, you might have the advocate, that sort of sounds kind of legal, or the counselor, or the comforter, or the helper, or maybe even the encourager. Okay, the word literally means someone who is called alongside to help. And they can help in a variety of ways, which is why we get a variety of descriptions. But they're all great descriptions. He'll advocate, he will encourage you, he will comfort you, he will help you, he will come alongside and be with you and even in you. And again, he's another advocate. So he's going to do what Jesus has been doing. Jesus has been the advocate. He's been for 3 years encouraging these guys and gals that are there, comforting, exhorting, advocating for them. Really, the upper room is, this is especially what he's doing. They're nervous. He says he's leaving them. They're struck with anxiety and grief. And what is all these words, all these red letters are, he's encouraging. He's equipping them for this. And he's saying, this is what I've done. And now this is what he will do. The difference between the first and second advocate is the first advocate encourages from outside of them. The second advocate will encourage from within them. It will comfort from inside out. Have you ever had a moment where you're really stressed and you're anxious about something, you're concerned about something, and you're with a friend and the anxiety is all over your face and they can tell that you're anxious. And at some point they're like, dude, just stop worrying about this. Like, just lighten up. Have you ever noticed how unhelpful that is? Like, stop worrying. Just stop. Right? Have you ever noticed how unhelpful that is? You're like, I know. I don't need to hear stop worrying. I need someone to get inside of here and soften this worried heart. The words aren't helping me. I need those words to get in here and do that work of comforting from the inside out. And Jesus is saying, this is what the comforter is here to do. I can only say these words, but he can do this work from the inside out. And you read the book of Acts and you'll see regularly that the early church, the followers of Jesus, were encouraged and comforted by the Holy Spirit. I'll give you one example. I love this. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged, there's our word, by the Holy Spirit, and increased in numbers. I love that. They're encouraged by the Holy Spirit. And I love the combination of fear of the Lord and encouragement in the Spirit. And I think that's really, when the comforter is working in us, I think what happens normally is some aspect of God just gets bigger. Like the fear of the Lord. Like God gets bigger on the inside when the Spirit is doing a fresh work in us. Some aspect of who God is just kind of is impressed on us, and it gets bigger in a really beautiful way. And we're encouraged, we're comforted. Maybe, for instance, here's his ministry, we are feeling the weight of our sin, and we're feeling guilt, we're feeling conviction. And then the comforter comes, and we're kind of, there's this temptation to, you know, move away from the Lord and kind of withdraw in our sin. And the comforter comes along, and in ways that only he can do, right? The grace of God gets bigger. He breathes forgiveness into our souls, and we actually experience the forgiveness of God in a moment. You ever have that? You ever had the Spirit just breathe like, oh, God forgives you. You're forgiven, not just on paper. No, he actually forgives me. Or as I mentioned earlier, there's a moment where you're anxious, you're troubled about something. Your heart is spinning, and then the comforter comes in and he just breathes. God's sovereign hand, I'm like, God has got this. It's okay. You're gonna be okay. And you actually feel your body. You feel your breathing start to slow down and your neck start to relax, right? Because the Spirit is bringing God to you in some way that is deeply encouraging or comforting. And I will say, it's not always pleasant feelings that he brings. Sometimes he brings conviction. Right? Sometimes you're in something, you're going down a path that you shouldn't be going down, and all of a sudden he brings like the holiness of God to you, and you feel deeply convicted of something that you weren't feeling convicted of. It hurts. It doesn't feel good, but it is good for you. This is the Spirit's work of encouragement and comfort, the advocate from the inside out. All right? So that's the first one. He's the advocate. I could say that's a whole sermon series. Let's look at this second one. He is the Spirit of truth. Again, so similar to Jesus. They've experienced Jesus as the man of truth. Jesus said in John, "For this purpose I came into the world, to testify to the truth. They've been hearing truths from this man. And now Jesus says, another one's coming, and he will be the Spirit of truth. He too, like me, will have a truth ministry, but again, his truth ministry will be from the inside, not just from the outside, but from the inside. And for the disciples specifically, you know, Jesus had shared so many truths with them. If you look at verse 25, he says, "All this I have spoken while still with you." He said a lot of things, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. I've said a lot of words, but the Advocate's going to come, and he's going to bring to mind these things I've said and continue to help you figure and sort them out. And I was thinking this week with that phrase, the reason we have the Gospel of John is the fulfillment of that promise right now, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit worked in John and brought all of these things to mind and helped him sort through them so that he could present them to us in a way that was accurate and understandable. All that to say, the Spirit is the author of the Scriptures. This is what our theology says, is that the Scriptures are inspired by the Holy Spirit. He's the ultimate author of the Bible. And so I'll just say, one of my pet peeves, I hate it when the Spirit and the book are kind of pit against each other. And sometimes you see that. Some people are like, I'm a Spirit person, you know, and I don't need a book. Like, God is out there and he's telling me things and he's working things that may be happening, but you'll kind of hear them like take a scripture and say what it means to them. You're like, I feel like that was really taken out of context. And then you got other people, again, who kind of get nervous about that and like, I'm a person of the book. And they are reading the book every day, and they're studying the book every day. And you're looking at them, and you're like, all that reading, you don't really look that much like Jesus. I mean, what is all that work? How is that working for you? And I want to bring all of that together and say, no, these are so integrated things. Like the Spirit who is at work in us is the very Spirit who wrote the Scriptures, who brings these things to mind. And so we ought to be people of the book, and we ought to be people of the Spirit. And those should never be pulled apart in any way. They're so wonderfully integrated. The Spirit leads us into truth. He is the Spirit of truth. And I have a lot of room for how the Spirit leads people today. I probably, in this room, on the spectrum of openness, I probably have more openness than many in this room. But I would say, I think the primary way the Spirit leads us in truth these days is by illuminating the Scriptures for us. This is, I think, the primary way he does this, by taking the teachings of Jesus and bringing them to life for us. Do you ever experience that? Do you long for more of that? So that this is not just a book, this is not just words on a piece of paper, but this is a living, breathing, like, thing. I always like to do our little thing where I open this and I hear the Spirit breathing, right? This is not just a book, right? This is a window through which the God of the universe speaks to us through his Spirit. This is not an end in and of itself. This is the telephone, if you will, between the living God and us as his voice speaks into these words and then through these words into our souls. And he does this ministry in us of removing the spiritual barriers and obstacles so that this word comes alive. This is the work. Because if he doesn't, there's scales on our eyes, scriptures say. We have so many barriers, so many obstacles inside of us for this to come alive. And his work is to do that work. You remember the last time the scriptures just came alive to you? You're reading a passage in the morning and you saw a friend at lunch like, God talked to me today. Like, what? No, he did. Like Psalm 15, he said it right there. It was for me today. I love it when that happens. And I was thinking for myself, what has been, where's scripture been coming alive this summer? And I, for me, I'm going through some of the Psalms, and usually it's not like an idea you've never heard of, right? It's not like the Spirit needs to supercharge our intellect to understand things we don't already understand. It's more of a heart thing that he needs to work through most of the time. But what's been coming alive to me is just the Psalms' commands to sing to the Lord, something I've heard my whole life. And I've been thinking this summer, like, what, it's just coming alive. What kind of a God wants to be sung to? That is so weird. Like, he doesn't just want to be contemplated. He doesn't just want to be obeyed. He wants to be sung to. That's so weird. I would never ask someone to sing to me. What is going on there? And it's coming alive. I think there's a lot going on there. But I love that. I think that's the Spirit's work, to illuminate the scriptures, the Spirit of truth. All right, and thirdly, in so many different ways, Jesus says, this Spirit comes from the Father. I will ask the Father, verse 16, he will give you this person. Verse 26, whom the Father will send in my name. And then in chapter 15, verse 26, he says, whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of the truth, who goes out from the Father. You get it? Jesus wants to beat us over the head that this Spirit comes from the Father, and this is the perfect day on Father's Day to talk about this. But again, he's another advocate, he's another Spirit of truth, he's another one who comes from the Father. The disciples have come to know Jesus as the one who comes from the Father, especially in John's gospel. Jesus, throughout the gospel, is like, I came from the Father. I don't speak on my own. I only speak what I hear my Father saying. I only do what my Father does. In the upper room, he says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus has been revealing the Father from without, from the outside. Meaning, in Jesus, they're watching a flesh and blood human being live life fully rooted in his identity as the beloved Son of God. They're seeing outside of them an example of what it looks like when a man lives from such security in his relationship with his Heavenly Father and such freedom that he has courage and love and grace and compassion, all the things that Jesus exhibits. They're seeing a exhibit A outside of them of this is what life looks like when you live as the beloved child of God. And now after 3 years, Jesus is saying, now the Father's going to send you another one from him, and he too will reveal the Father to you. The difference is he will reveal the Father from within. He will not just give you an example of living life as a child of God. He will give you an inner experience of what it's like to live as a son or as a daughter, a beloved son and daughter of the King of the universe. He will do this from the inside. My favorite verse of all about the Holy Spirit comes from Romans 8, where Paul is describing precisely this experience. Many of you know this so well, but see if you can take it in, especially on Father's Day. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption. And by him, by the Spirit, we cry, Abba, Papa, Daddy, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. This is the deep ministry of the Spirit. He comes from the Father, works from the inside out to testify, to whisper or shout deep in our spirits, in that inner part of you that no one else sees, but that shapes so much of who you are and the decisions you make. In that space, he whispers and comforts and speaks, God is your papa. He is your dad. the King of the universe, the Lord of hosts, the sovereign creator of all things, is Dad. He loves you. He likes you. You're his daughter. You're his son. He wants good things for you. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Comes from the Father to reveal the Father, not from the outside, but from the inside out. And one of my greatest desires for our community and for myself is as we move forward in years to come, we are more and more living out of our sonship and our daughtership, if those are words, that we are living from this place of deep security. I am so loved, not from a place of fear, but from a place of love and trust. My dad has got the whole world in his hands, and he thinks I'm just the greatest thing, because that's what dads think about their kids. And I move out into the world from that place of security and joy and confidence. I interact with people from that place. This is what the New Testament is talking about all the time. And this is the deep work of the Spirit. It's his deep work. Amen? Amen. I just love this image. We looked at it a couple weeks ago, but I love this image in verse 23. Look at it here. That connects so beautifully with this. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Through the Spirit, of course. How is that happening? It's happening through the presence of the Spirit. The Spirit is a homemaker. And what I love is Jesus, at the beginning of chapter 14, has just described himself as a homemaker. I'll just read it to you back in verse 2. My Father's house has many rooms. Talking about his Father's home. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so you also may be where I am. He says, I'm leaving and I'm making a home for you. It's an external home. It's a heavenly home. I'm preparing it for you, and I will come and take you so you can be in this home with me. And now he says, he's the homemaker. But now he's saying, but the Spirit is also a homemaker. I'm making a home up in heaven. He makes a home for you right here, right inside of you, so that me and my Father can come and find a place deep inside of your life, and that you yourself can be the home of the living God through his Holy Spirit. And so I want you to have that image today as you walk out, that you, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are the home of the triune God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I know you've heard this before, but you are sacred ground. You are a temple of the living God. And we are to find great comfort in that. You're a mobile home. everywhere you go, truly, like I was thinking about this image, everywhere you go, you are the home of the living God. If you ever feel lonely, some of you struggle with loneliness. You are a self-contained community. Wherever you go, you have community wherever you go. If you ever feel insecure, you're walking someplace, you feel out of place, or you feel like you don't belong, you are part of the inner circle. Like you are at the center of the universe. Those relationships, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, dwell within you. If you ever experience FOMO, you know, like you are always right where it's at. You have a living God inside of you. No wonder Jesus says peace in verse 27. I leave you peace. I give my peace to you. I don't give as the world gives. Right? I have this shalom for you. Not the removal of hard circumstances, but of course the presence of the living God right in the midst of any circumstances. That is shalom. All of this is worth celebrating. Yes? All right, let me close with this. If any of this you've heard today and you feel like, I don't have that, I lack that. And even you're here and you're like, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I feel like I'm getting just a little bit of that. I could use a lot more. What do we do? And I feel that sometimes. What do we do? And I'll leave you with two thoughts from Jesus' own teaching. If you do not experience this, you do not have this, I think what Jesus would say to you is this: then ask. Ask. Do you want more of this? Ask. Ask me. I love giving to people who ask. Ask and keep asking. This is what he says to his disciples earlier in his ministry. Ask. It'll be given to you. Seek. You will find. Knock. And these verbs are keep on knocking. The door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you dads, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, would give him a scorpion? No way, right? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? July's coming up, which means that my three girls' birthdays are in July. So gifts are starting to be talked about already. I've seen some things written on pieces of paper in early July, June, you know. And I was thinking, how great would it be if on one of those pieces of papers it just said, a kid came up to me, you know, Dad, you know what I want for my birthday? I just want to know you better. I just want a deeper experience of your love. I'm like, done. That brings so much joy to my heart. I think what that kind of request, how much joy does that bring to a dad? And that's what this request is for the Spirit. Lord, I want to know you more. I want to experience more of you. Our Father must love that request. And so I'd ask you, how often do you actually ask? Or how often do you just sort of sit with how your life is, but don't actually keep asking? That's me. I might complain, but I don't actually ask. So that's the first thing, is ask and keep asking. The Lord loves to give to those who ask. And then finally, this one carries a little bit more bite to it. Obey. Do you want to experience more of the Spirit? Then start obeying God in every area that comes to mind. Repent of disobedience whenever and wherever you're made aware of it. And you cannot escape that connection in this passage. The connection between loving Jesus and obeying Jesus, and the connection between obeying Jesus and experiencing more of Jesus. Let me read it to you. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commands, and then I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Verse 21, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Verse 23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Verse 24, anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings. You can't get a clear connection there. If you love me, obey me, and you will get more of me. I will reveal myself. And so I do not think we should expect to have profound experiences of the Holy Spirit where if in some area of our lives we're living in deep, unrepentant sin. Okay? Jesus is like, that's not how this works. The Lord has grace for everything. His grace is big enough to cover all of that. And I believe the Lord rewards those who earnestly seek him and follow after him. And he rewards them simply with more of himself, which is the thing that people who seek him want most. I'll leave you with an image of the Holy Spirit being the homemaker. Here's the image. And I've got a quote from C.S. Lewis that I absolutely love. It's from Mere Christianity. Imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in through his Spirit to rebuild the house. At first, perhaps you can understand what he's doing. He's getting the drains right and stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You knew that those jobs needed doing, and so you're not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably and does not seem to make any sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he is building quite a different house from the one you thought of. throwing out a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were being made into a decent little cottage, but he is building a palace. He intends to come and live in it himself. And so I leave you with that thought, that if we want the blessings of the Holy Spirit, we've got to be up for the adventure of reconstruction. Let's pray. Well, Holy Spirit, we celebrate you today. Father, we celebrate your fatherly affection for us. And we ask, send more of your Spirit, Lord. May we experience him in greater measures than in the past. Fill us with such confidence and assurance and comfort and security that we just come to more deeply enjoy our relationship with you, and we can be more fruitful in this world, that you satisfy our needs so that we can more freely love and serve those around us. I pray especially for the fathers in this room, that your Spirit would be given to them in extra measure wherever they most need it in this season of parenting, Lord. Would you equip them? Would you encourage them? Would you comfort them? We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.